Hello.
Hello and welcome to AdLib, the York Theatre Royal podcast,
where we interview industry professionals and get an insight into the theatre world.
I'm Jessie.
And I'm Henry.
And we're referring to these episodes as interval episodes because theatre is on a short break right now because of the worldwide situation, but it will come back soon.
In this episode, we're joined by Nancy Zammit, member of Mischief Theatre, known for the play That Goes Wrong, and more recently, The Goes Wrong Show on the BBC. So we talk about their recent TV show, as well as Magic Goes Wrong, and how they're coping during the chaos of the world.
We are all in our own self-isolations, so we are doing this on Skype. Please bear with us. Henry is doing an amazing job of editing it together.
Oh, thank you, Jessie.
You know, sometimes we can't see each other, and there's a bit of interruption, so hope you enjoy.
So now we're joined on Skype by Nancy Zammit of Mischief Theatre. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
It's all right. How are you doing? How are you coping
so far?
I have a
2-year-old, so I guess I self-isolate a lot anyway. The only difference is I can't take him to the park or anything like that, but like, I'm in the house a lot doing various crafts all the time, so life is carrying on for me.
That's a win.
And he's having a great time because everyone's at home all the time.
Have you explained to him what's going on?
Yeah,
or
course,
not really?
All of it. No. I mean, he doesn't understand anything at all, but he's excited that we're all here. So that's actually really beautiful because he's like really hyped to have us all around.
Oh, bless.
So for people that have somehow never heard of Mischief Theatre and yourself, could you just sort of explain a bit about your background and what Mischief is all about?
I'm sure there's a lot of people that haven't heard of me. But Mischief Theatre, we're like a comedy theatre company who started, my toddler is about to run in this room, I think. Sorry. Yeah, no, we're a comedy company who started in 2009-ish, and we all met in various different years at Lambda. We were like brought together through improv, and we did an improv show for years called Lights, Camera, Improvise, and then through that we decided that it might be quite fun to do a scripted thing. That turned into the play That Goes Wrong, and then that really blew up. We carried on writing and creating and improvising and doing everything, but yeah, we're basically a group of people who make comedy, and all the goes wrong things that you've ever heard of, if you've heard of them, is us.
And how do you develop them? Do you all sit in a room together? Has it changed as time's gone on? Because you've had in the last couple of years
It's changed as time has gone on because the workload is just so immense now that you can't all sit together and be like, what a nice time we're having, we'll just take this time off and work together. But there are three guys that write all the shows, Henry Shields, Henry Lewis and Jonathan Sayer, and they generally go off, well, what they've started to do the last few years is go off on writing retreats in like log cabins and fancy stuff. But yeah, they lock themselves away for a few weeks, they write the hell out of everything, and then bring it to us. We usually, like myself, Dave Hearn, Charlie Russell, occasionally Bryony Corrigan, occasionally Greg Tannehill's in there. And we kind of tear it apart and go, oh, this isn't working, that's not working, this is good. And then we kind of workshop characters that they've written either for us in mind or like new ones, figure out who would be great to play that part, or just kind of mash it up a bit. And then they go away and rewrite, and then come back and rewrite and come back, and that process goes on throughout even the time we're performing the shows. Like in Magic Goes Wrong, we were still putting changes in right the day before we left, so that never stops until we actually hand the show over to a new cast if it carries on past us. And the way that we do the TV show is that what's happening with series 2 is that they're doing 7 weeks of writing, then a big read through, and then they'll do 7 more weeks of writing, and then we'll go into shooting I mean, I can talk about how we shoot it. That's a whole other thing. But yeah, it basically, it's just like a really collaborative, fluid thing that, I don't know. There's a lot of voices, but we all care and we all aren't precious. So it works really well as a kind of check on the work, because if everyone thinks it's good, it generally works in front of an audience. But there's some jokes where like lots of people will hate it in the room, and then we'll put it in front of a crowd and everyone will love it, and we're like, what, that's crazy, I can't believe you like that, that's mad. And then the opposite will happen, where we all think something's amazing, we put it in front of an audience and it absolutely bombs. So it's just about filtering it, I guess, and that's how we work.
So it reached a point over Christmas where you had, I think, 4 different shows in London at once.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, what was that like, kind of just seeing Mischief everywhere?
It's been such a weird journey, because it happened really fast initially, but really to get to that point this Christmas, it was quite a like trickly thing. It was quite slow. And then you realise that you're like, there's so many, it's the best thing about it, I think, is that how many people we're employing and giving work to, that's really fun work. Like, it's just doing a really mad, fun comedy show. And I think a lot of people that do the shows really enjoy doing the shows, and audiences enjoy watching them. It's not, you're not going through like a big ordeal every time you have to perform it, and you're not going through a big ordeal seeing it. It's just really light and fun. So the best thing about having so many shows on, I think, is like how many people are enjoying performing them. And like, that's so nice, because I've got a lot of my close actual friends in them, because they've auditioned, they've got those parts and they're amazing. And it's really nice to have someone that you know really well. Like me and Katie Daghorn, she was a girl that played Sandra in the tour of Peter Pan Goes Wrong this year. And I've known her for years before that, because she used to work with my husband. And it's just really nice, like, getting to call her up and being like, how's Pan going? And like, there's just so much joy in it that, like, it's just a really, it's an amazing feeling to, like, have a massive crew of you just being like, right, wow, what's going on?
How have the cycles worked so far? So have you done, like, a 6-month run and then a new cast, or is it more fluid?
We generally, like, I think Magic was the Magic and Grown Ups were the shortest runs that we have done as the original cast. We usually do a year and then pass it on. Play That Goes Wrong, we did a hell of a lot, because obviously we did the old Red Line run, then the Trafalgar Studios run, then the tour, and then the West End, and then Broadway. So I must have performed that show like maybe 1,500-ish times. So like, that's when you can't start to be like, what? What is my life? But generally we do the first year, and then if it runs on, like, it's amazing if it runs on. Like, Bank Robbery was such an accidental success. Like, we really didn't think that it would have run as long as it has. And it's just amazing. So, yeah, about a year.
Do you feel a certain pressure to kind of consistently hit that level?
Of course. Of course. If we don't, I think Grown Ups was a real shift for us, because we were doing like a play that wasn't super farcy, and not like, it said a few things that weren't like our normal, you just come in, fall over, go away again. but we still wanted it to be really fun and really accessible. But there definitely is a standard that we want to keep, and we know when we're not hitting it, and we, like, it's like we're a football team, do you know what I mean? And if you're slipping down the league, it's not like it's not like by accident. You just know that you have to work harder. And I think we just constantly work harder and harder and harder, because also, like, it's that weird, like, tricky second album thing. Like, people are going to criticise your work more the more success you've had with previous shows. So we feel the pressure all the time. But for us, working hard is just making things that we really love. So it's more like, instead of trying to be like, we've got to make a big hit show, we know that we've got to make something that we really love. And if we really love it, then it's fine. But if we know that we don't really love it, then there's work to be done and there's a problem. But it's not about, like, we've got to make a show for commercial success. We've got to make a show that we really enjoy.
With the TV series, you obviously had seven... Was it six or seven?
Episodes, six. Yeah.
Effectively, like, six different plays. That's so much work and so much... what am I saying? Yeah, kind of going off on that pressure for each one of them to be, like, really good.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And totally different. That's so much work, especially as, like, a theatre company. You don't have that experience normally.
Well, I'm glad that you can see how much work that was, because, I don't know, it's just... It was mega. It was absolutely huge. It was a huge undertaking, and we're so grateful for, I guess, Big Talk and the BBC to actually have faith in us to give us the opportunity to do essentially like a different show each week, because I think it costs a lot of money to do it, and like it's a lot of strain on everyone. But I think even the production team working on that usually work in TV shows, they were like, wow, this is so crazy, because every third week you do something completely different. You're in a different set, different costumes, different environment. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. But yeah, it's a hell of a lot of work. But luckily, it was only 25 minutes an episode. If it had been an hour long or 2 hours, it would have been carnage.
Did you have a particular favourite episode out of the six?
To make, it was probably 90 Degrees. Because it was genuinely just so hard. We were literally on the ceiling, on the walls, in harnesses. Like, it was so much logistics that it was just incredible to make that. And we could only do certain scenes for 90 seconds at a time, because there would be so much blood rushing to your head that you couldn't medically do it. So it's like, that's really exciting to have that, have done that. But I think for me, like, my favourite episode is the pilot, because my part in that is my favourite part of the series, because getting to play like a real misogynistic guy was so much fun. Yeah, it's great.
I think that was my favourite. Which one was your favourite, Henry?
Oh,
it's either the court one, A Trial to Watch, or the locket one, mainly because of the horse and the ceiling fan.
The ceiling fan was so gross. So much cold gravy and potatoes in our faces. Like, it was so disgusting. And we were really like...
stone cold. And
It was horrible. It smelled horrible, and it was like, it was just awful. But, and me and Charlie were in such mega costumes, like real, we had like 8 layers of corsets and skirts and stuff on, and I was really like, why have we got so many clothes on for TV? No one can see it, it's fine. But it was really difficult to walk around that episode. I love watching that back, because if you watch it with me not being able to move in mind, you really can tell that I cannot move at all in that dress. It's really funny. It really makes me laugh.
I'd love to hear some of the conversations about... So we're going to have a ceiling fan spinning right in front of people's faces. How much is that insurance going to cost?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. The insurance is not... I don't even want to, like, listen or talk about it. But they were really concerned all the time. Like, one of the major things in that episode was, like, the pill that Henry Lewis had to keep putting in his mouth, a massive pill. People were like, you're going to choke on it, you cannot do this. It was like a really big deal. I don't know. It's been interesting flipping from theatre to TV, because obviously we did 5 months or something shooting that series of people being like, you cannot do stuff until it's checked, and you can't rehearse it until it's checked, and we've got to be really careful. It was so monitored, and they're so safe, and it's wonderful because they take care of you loads. But we were used to just being in a room on our own, throwing ourselves around and being like, oh, I guess that's kind of funny, bang, whatever. And then going straight, almost like a day after, going straight into the rehearsals for Magic Goes Wrong, where we were back in the theatre room, we were back under our own insurance policies and like in charge of our own bodies. And we just were throwing ourselves around, and it felt like somebody was going to stop you all the time, because you were so used to being stopped. So it was a nice freeing thing where we could just go and chuck ourselves about a bit. We didn't have like a whole TV crew being like, no, stop, wait, you're going to die.
So you obviously had the script, and then talk us through like the rehearsals, and then the rehearsals with the cameras, and then the actual show.
So the rehearsals for the TV show were really fun because we would do 3-week cycles where we do 2 weeks of rehearsals at Elstree in a big studio with a big workshop next door. So any prop that we needed to like make go wrong, we would have like a whole crew of carpenters and electricians and stuff with us being like, can you just make that so the clock hands fall off after this certain amount of time? And they're like, yeah, and they'll go back, do it and then deliver it to you, which just is amazing. But so we had 2 weeks of rehearsals where we'd like change the script and we'd get little tester audiences in of like 20-30 people to just talk through it, and we'd do little performances sometimes with our scripts in our hands and just to see what the rhythm was, because that's so important to us to know how the laughter is going to connect and how the audience connect with that show. And then we'd go to Manchester to Doc 10 and we'd do the camera rehearsals and then get a big audience in and like try and run as much as we can live. So like I think the longest bit that we did was like 15 minutes straight live. But like we just really tried to do it like you rehearse a play for 2 weeks, you get it ready and you can do all of it all the way through as much as you can. So it was really nice to get comfortable with that, because for Christmas Carol Goes Wrong and it was just, it was so broken up that we knew that we didn't have the right rhythms in it. We knew that it was just, we had never put it in front of an audience before. We were like, as we were shooting it, the laughs were coming at different times that we thought, and we knew that we could make it better, but we didn't have the chance to. So when we did the show, we were like, right, it's going to work in these 3-week blocks. And then you go back, reset, and do a totally different episode for the next 2 weeks. So it was amazing fun. It's the best job I've ever had, hands down. Incredible.
So how did a TV show like this get pitched, or was it who approached who? Do you know kind of how that worked?
It's been a long time of a lot of people talking to each other. It's kind of like getting Play That Goes Wrong to Broadway. It took 2 years of us being like, them being like, and I think it's the same like with Saurabh at Big Talk, and obviously the BBC after Peter Pan and Christmas Carol. And we knew that we wanted to start our own production company because then we had more say in the room as producers. So we started Mischief Screen with Hilary Strong. And so it's been like a lot of different people over a long time figuring out what the best version of it is. So I can't, I mean,
yeah.
I have no idea like really what the initial spark was. I'm sure if you spoke to either Henry Lewis or John, you'd know, but I'm sure they could tell you better than me. But I knew that they were pitching a hell of a lot of things. They were pitching different series, different stuff. Loads of stuff got knocked about for like 2-3 years, so it's been a long time coming. And I think I don't know, it's really difficult to know. Like, it wasn't a straightforward like, will you do this? Yes, okay, we're there. It wasn't like that at all.
Have you seen it affect the audiences of your live shows, like a new sort of set of people coming through the doors?
Yeah, you just never really know, do you, exactly like how it's happening. But I think certainly, strangely, it really boosted Peter Pan Goes Wrong on the tour because we've got that live version on TV that people can see. And then we did the Goes Wrong show. And then I think, like, for all the regional theatres that I went to, I know that they definitely had an amazing time seeing it. And people specifically went to see Peter Pan Goes Wrong because of the Goes Wrong show. I think, I'm sure it had an effect on everything else. And definitely, like, coming out of stage door at Magic and has been like, oh, you're on TV. That's been a different thing, where they're like, people coming up to you telling you that you're famous, even though you're definitely not. Like, just being like, I've seen you on the Goes Wrong show. And that's crazy. That's been really, really weird. But I think for a lot of people, they're just like Mischief fans from the theatre, and it's great to have it at home. I think it's been, for me, what I've heard of it, is it's been that way round. For the people that really get in touch with us are like, I love your theatre shows, thank you for doing a home version of it, keep going, kind of thing. And that's really nice, because especially like right now, we're all isolated I'm so glad we have a TV show out, because if people want a silly laugh, they can go and get it.
Also, it's really exciting as like people who enjoy theatre and watch theatre to sort of have it as prime time on the BBC. That's really cool to have like a theatre company you know, and you're like, wow, that's this like it's like a different world suddenly, which is really cool.
It's really weird because we have no idea like what that is because we're inside it. I've always wondered because my husband's an actor and a director as well, and a writer, and like I have no idea what it looks like from the outside.
I don't know
because we're just so in it that I could totally understand if nobody has ever heard of any of it, because it's just what we do every day, and like
I don't know,
it just feels normal. But then you get some people that know every inch of it, and you get some people that know nothing. So I don't know what's right, I don't know what's good.
Can you give us any sort of things you're looking forward to in season two? Do you know kind of anything that's happening in it yet? You're allowed to say no, don't worry.
Little spoilers. I do know the ideas that are being knocked about. I can't say any of them at all, but... But I think that more boundaries will be pushed, is what it sounds like. I'm not part of the writing process, but we're definitely taught, like we're all in dressing rooms every day next to each other, and we kind of go in and go like, what are you doing? And we'll know in that we've got a read through, I don't know, I think in June, end of June. And so we'll find out then. But I think what's being planned is, I was already like, oh, that's pretty crazy and dangerous. Well done, you've outdone yourselves. So I think it should be, yeah, I don't think it's going to be the same again. I think it's going to be more.
It must be difficult trying to come up with more ways for things to go wrong. Because each one is new. Like, obviously, there's repeat gags like doors getting stuck, classic things like that. But every episode, there was something new, or multiple things new, and I don't know how you keep coming up with them.
I think it's just it's all credit to the boys, really. Like, it's about creating an environment that you can play in that's new, I think. So you've got a different, like the ceiling fan, you've got a different mechanism that you can mine. Because if you were always in a set with two doors, you'd always just be slamming doors and getting knocked out by doors and doing that. But if you give yourself a new environment, then it's the same gags basically going wrong stuff. But it's endless because you can just make it worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it can be completely different. Like in the oh my god, what is that episode called? That's terrible. I don't know that. In the law one, A Trial to Watch. That's what it's called. I know my job. It's all right. just the idea of having, just the basic concept of having the scene that is trucked on in two halves.
Yeah.
If you have that as your base, it's endless, and then you just mine and mine and mine into that. And then once you're on the set, there's a whole load of other stuff that as actors we can fiddle around with, and like as sets being pulled apart, like there's so many different ways of like connecting with that as your different characters. So it becomes really rich if you've got a good base and everyone's there being creative on it. It becomes like a rich little tapestry of like different characters mining their own problems and like how they deal with them. Like you've got Henry Shields, who is always the kind of straight director. He can mind how he can like keep things together and hold it down and be serious. And so you know that the more serious he's trying to be, the more ridiculous you can make him look, like in the Christmas episode. So like more and more he just like has his clothes ripped off, and like it just, you can undermine him. And like say Dave Hearn in the trial episode, like he's a really physical actor, so like give him a load of steps to walk up that he has to then fall down. Like he can do all of that stuff, so you can mine that strain of comedy for him. So like I think that's why it kind of never stops, because you've got 7 core characters, 8 core characters who all have different versions of what they do that's funny, and then you just put a good base on it, and you're laughing, mate.
How would you describe your actor character? So is it what's the name of the company?
Cornley Polytechnic Society. my character Annie, she is like, I always think that she's always the one doing a mad character, or like an extreme character. So what I always say is that she's the one that really like commits. She like overly commits to everything. So it means that she can be good sometimes, because it's useful in the group to have people that just can play a straight scene and can be good. But if you fully commit to it and just ignore what's going wrong around you, and just a little eye shift here and there is enough for that episode. Like my character in the Christmas episode, I had to be the straight man in that, because you always need a straight man. So I always think that she just commits to everything. So if it's like the misogynistic man, she's fully going for it. She's slapping people on the bum. She's like really involved in the character. That's kind of how I see her. But it means there's a lot of scope for me to play a lot of different things, which I end up doing. I'm not like Henry Shields, where he'll always be like the kind of main protag guy, but is kind of striving for generally the same thing to make the show happen. But I get to be like old grandmas and like crazy nurses, and like, I don't know. It's fun being a...
What part would you love to see Annie play next? If you had unlimited budget, what would you love to see her do?
I've always wanted to do I've always wanted to be Ursula in The Little Mermaid.
I was just thinking Little Mermaid.
Yeah, like, I really do want to do Little Mermaid Goes Wrong, because somebody made fan art about it like a couple of years ago when we were on Broadway, and they sent us this this picture of all of us like in different versions of The Little Mermaid. And it was like Jono was like Flounder and like little, it was just really hilarious. And they put me as Ursula, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I would absolutely love to do that. That's so great. There's got to be a musical at some point. I'm always gunning for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your eyes.
Wow, that would be so cool.
What's your favourite thing you've ever done, do you think, out of all of the Mischief shows?
I think it was filming Peter Pan Goes Wrong.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a really big deal. It was a really big turning point. And obviously Broadway was nuts. I think my favourite songs are in Peter Pan, and getting to take that from the stage to... A TV studio for the first time, and like walking around that TV studio and being like, I cannot believe somebody is paying me to be here and like mess about with my friends. This is crazy. It was amazing. But it keeps being amazing. Like, there's not really, it's really difficult to pinpoint the time. Another time that I'm thinking of is when we were doing Play That Goes Wrong in the Edinburgh Festival, and we sold out our run, and we got transferred just for one night into a 350-seater. And it was the biggest thing we'd ever done until that point. And it was filled with people that had supported our company from other companies for the month. And it was like, I would say the best audience we've ever had. And I cried at the end of that. Like, I think a lot of us did, because we were like, what the hell has just happened? Like, that's so amazing. Like, to go to the Fringe and like have that much success in a show is, that night is forever special. Despite all the stuff we've done after it, it was like our like absolutely shit set. Like, and all of our like costumes, it was like my mum's work overalls and like some charity shop clothes. My literal brother's curtains from his bedroom were the curtains from the... And it's like to do that in front of all those people and know that we were going into Trafalgar Studios after was like...
Yeah,
it was like... That was really special. So yeah, those two I think are up there.
Cool. So to kind of... shift it slightly, So obviously,
everything
is going on at the moment. It's all a lot of fun. Do you think that kind of what yourselves have done with moving theatre into a TV studio, but kind of still keeping it theatre, do you think that's going to pave the way for something a bit new, and maybe as theatre adapts to like online or sort of TV content?
I have no idea. I think it will be, yes, maybe, but is that a good thing? I'm not sure, because I think what we've learnt right now is the value of crowds and how amazing that is to be in. And I think if everybody's watching theatre from at home on their own, it's like, especially for our shows, the other character in the shows every single time is the audience. It's the collective response that you get. It's the joy of people around you laughing. And like, not to get, I don't want to make anyone sad by being like, remember crowds? I love them. It's so nice to be together. But like, I think it is such a vital part of what makes theatre so special. So yeah, I hope that can be something new. That's always exciting to have new stuff. And like, it's always exciting to push boundaries and like explore different ways of being creative. But I think there's always going to be theatre, because it's fundamentally different from any other form.
But I think somehow, definitely within the Goes Wrong show, you managed to keep it. It was still theatre.
We had big crowds in there. It was one of our necessary things that we did to book the whole series, because we didn't have it on Christmas Carol, or did we? Oh my God, what? I can't even remember. I think we did for a little bit. We did for one day, but we did a lot of that show without a crowd. Of course we did, yes, we did. But we did a lot of it without an audience, and we realised that it just isn't the same. So we did so much of that TV show with a live studio audience. And that was really great. We still always get messages of people like, I came to the filming, it was great. Da, da, da. So it's like, it's a special thing for them to have been there. So I still think it's, even though we're doing it on TV, it's the live element of it is so important. So yeah, if people start doing theatre on TV, get your audience in there as well, especially if it's comedy.
But like you said earlier, in these like not crowdable times, the series is on iPlayer, so
oh my God, that's yeah, great. I got to rewatch it. Actually, I've only ever watched the whole thing once.
Did you watch it with your family, or did you all get together and watch it?
There was a couple of screenings, but I couldn't go to one of them, so I hadn't, until they actually aired, I hadn't actually seen three of the episodes. So I used to come home from the show, from Magic, and watch them at like 11 o'clock at night. And we all used to get together because they actually aired during the interval of our show. So we'd watch like the first 15 minutes and then have to leave and go on stage. And we were like, we just want to see the rest.
Couldn't you have made the interval 25 minutes and just screened it for the audience?
I know. What the hell? Yeah.
Speaking about intervals, Henry has come up with the concept that these episodes are called the interval, because we're all on a break right now. Henry, do you want to ask your interval questions?
Yeah,
so one of my questions has been, what is your go-to interval drink for the current time? A little thing that's gonna get you through until we all start off again for act two?
Oh, like we're in the audience and I'm ordering a drink at the bar?
Yeah,
I mean, I've pre-ordered, or if you're in, I think one of the people are doing like, one of the ticketing agents are doing like interval drinks to your seat at the moment, which is super great.
Yeah.
What is my interval drink? Well, it's a gin and tonic, isn't it? You're at the theatre. You're middle class. You're in London. You're getting a G&T.
what G&T?
I don't know. Something strong. Double. A double. I've actually drunk a single G&T for about 8 years. It's not enough gin. That's the only thing I'm stockpiling at this house.
Yeah, just fair enough.
Yeah, it's 100% a genocide.
Yeah, so
what's happening with Magic Goes Wrong at the moment? What was kind of the process as the news hit, I suppose?
Well, it's really complicated because we are in the middle of a cast change. So we've got a new cast 2.5 weeks into rehearsal that kind of know the show, but also don't. By the time we're out of this, our contracts are up.
Yeah.
Because we were all leaving in the next 2 weeks anyway. So I actually haven't got a clue. I imagine that we'll just finish rehearsing in the new cast and they'll start it up again and we'll never come back, which is very weird because we didn't know that we weren't coming back. Like, Dave Hearn went on holiday the week before, so his last show was like just a show. We didn't realise that it would be his last ever show, so it's like it's a very weird one. But I mean, I don't know, we might be back to do like an interim time because we all know it, so we'll have to do a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, it'll be really interesting to see what measures have to be taken, and like, you know, like you said, like, do you come back as a cast? What happens to everyone else in similar situations after this? So yeah, I wonder all of those. Yeah,
I just, yeah, I feel very lucky that we were almost at the end of our contracts anyway, so we kind of knew that we would be out of work in a few weeks anyway. It's just happened a bit sooner, but it just must be absolutely awful for people that are either just starting or like in the middle of a contract. Like, it's not at all good what's going on. It's not at all good that they haven't officially closed the theatres and pubs and bars and restaurants. I mean, so many people are in the same boat as us. Like, we're a really strong theatre community. Like, the fact that you guys are doing this podcast and like we're talking right now means that we've got support, but like, hospitality is so big that you can't, they're not all doing a hospitality podcast to like support each other and be creative. It's like, no, you just have to work and get on with it, but you can't because no one's coming to the bars and also no one's shutting them down. So it's just thousands and thousands of people that are in a terrible situation, but we're being positive.
Yeah.
What ways would you suggest that people can support the arts and kind of hospitality? What would you kind of ask people to do if possible?
Well, I don't know if this is me like asking people to do it because I don't know the ramifications of this, but there's been a few like sweet things I've heard where people are like pre-ordering rounds at pubs. And then obviously just like, you can go and get them in 4 months' time, but just to keep a cash flow going. I don't know, but I don't know if that's the same with like booking theatre tickets or whatever. I'm not the person to answer that question. Like, I don't, it's really nice that things that are happening that are like, you know, booking tickets for workshops and booking tickets for shows and stuff, just to show your support for them. But equally, like, we don't know, no one in the world knows what's going to happen in like 9 months' time and where we're going to be at, and everyone is going to be financially squeezed, so it's just very hard to say. I'm definitely not the person to answer that question. Like, I've got no idea. I'm like the rest of us. Like, I don't know what to do. I just think like the biggest thing you can do is support people that find it hard to isolate and that are anxious, and people that suffer from depression and people that are not good on their own, and try and be as supportive to those people and reach out as much as you can as possible. Because that's got to be the hardest thing. I mean, I've had depression at different points in my life, had very bad postnatal depression, and I can't imagine if I was going through that now how difficult that would be. And I would want to know that I wasn't alone in that. So that's the thing that's primarily the thing that you can do. Like, you can only do what you can in this moment. You can't think about what it's going to be like in a few months because everything is changing daily. Like, and also that means you can't panic about what's going to go on in the next few months because, again, everything is changing daily. I don't know.
Even when this episode goes out in a couple of days, who knows? What that's
exactly that's could be on lockdown. predictions for 2 days' time. What are we going to be doing?
I think they'll have told us when we're locking down. That's my prediction.
I think we'll all be delivered some nice ice cream from the government.
I know which one I'm hoping for.
some government ice cream, and it'll all be very lovely.
Interval ice cream.
Interval ice cream. What's your interval ice cream flavours, guys?
See, I had this, I can't remember what it's called. It's a really weird word, and it was non-dairy ice cream, like vanilla non-dairy ice cream, and I've not been able to stop thinking about it. I think it started with a K.
I love those things that you can't stop thinking about after you've eaten them, yeah, and you never find them again. Oh, God.
It was amazing, and it was in this tiny theatre in, like, Yorkshire. And, yeah, that's my... I can't go back now.
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to be really boring and just say chocolate. Just quite like chocolate ice cream.
A chocolate and a vanilla. Guys, I'm a big fan of both. I have no idea. I think maybe like a... You know, they do those honeycomb ones sometimes. Or like a stem ginger guy.
Right, on vanilla ice cream, ginger powder, as in like ginger like spice. Yeah, that's my go-to.
Oh,
that's
my
go-to.
God, that's it's amazing. It's amazing. Vanilla ice cream is always my go-to though. Very boring like that. Love it so much. Mm-mm.
Well, I think we'll kind of wrap it up there if that's okay. But when can we kind of be looking forward to some more mischief stuff? When are we kind of... What's coming next? Is it... Will it be series 2 at some point in the future?
Well, I don't... Yeah, whether they push that back or not, whether they prioritise it, I have no idea at all. Like, we're... just carrying on, like, I'm sure there might be some content coming for the isolation period that we've been working on already. Like, you basically cannot stop Henry Lewis from being productive. It's actually hurtful how on it he is all the time. But yeah, I think there's little bits and pieces. If you follow our Twitter or Instagram, then you'll find it soon. And then we've got to do, I guess, there's a third show that we had built into the residency. Got to do that some point. Got to do series 2. But yeah, we're just carrying on. Like, luckily we can write and we can read and we can do all the things together when we're not together. So we'll definitely not stop. We'll just take this time to write a lot of good stuff, so which is good, because last year we've just churned out a lot of stuff and didn't have a lot of time to sit back and sort of really take it slowly. So I feel really great that the boys are having to have a bit of a rest, because they have been non-stop, and I appreciate having time with my family because I don't have a lot of it. So we're all okay and we're all keeping going, and just hopefully no one's in too dire straits, but who knows? Don't know. Hard question.
Well, amazing. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast. And
mate, thank you so
much. We eventually
got
there with all the technical issues.
Yeah, I'm like fully mummed you. I like did not have a good technical time. I like absolutely became a mother in that half an hour tonight.
We got there.
Madness.
Well, Nancy, madness. Thank you so much for coming on, as I say, and all the best with getting through isolation with a 2-year-old, and all the best for the future projects.
Oh, thanks, guys. You too. Sorry, we're all isolated. Have a great time.
Thank
Keep
you so
going.
Much.
Bye.
See you later.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for squeezing us into your schedule of arts and crafts. We really appreciate it.
It's always great to hear from the team at Mischief, and we always seem to have a nice laugh when we do.
We will be back soon, hopefully, with another episode, so keep your eyes on this space.
But before then, we do have lots of other episodes, including a previous episode with Mischief Theatre, which was actually our very first episode. So do go back and give that a listen.
In the meantime, stay safe, wash your hands, self-isolate, love you lots.
And we'll see you soon. Bye!